is what's called the Shabbos Shira. We lay in the Shabbos the Shira of Kriyas Yamsuf, Oz Yashir Meshov Vnei Yisrael. Actually, we actually say it every single day. It's part of the Pesukim of the Zimmer. That's a big topic in and of itself. Maybe we'll have time. We'll talk about that soon. The minhag to recite Oz Yashir every single day. There's only one day a year, where the minhag is not to recite Oz Yashir, which today we don't abide by that minhag, but it's cited in many of the old Svarim, and that is on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the only day where it's brought down that you should skip Oz Yashir. And instead, you should say Hazinu, Shiras Hazinu, because Shiras Hazinu is really mostly Toichacha. Oz Yashir represents the Shira of the defeat of our enemies. How could you sing Oz Yashir on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is when our enemies prevailed, they succeeded, and we were defeated. So what are you saying? It would be hypocrisy to go say Oz Yashir on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, the minhag was, it used to be in the olden days, that we would not recite Oz Yashir at all on Tisha B'Av. Some also had a custom, maybe you can find it in some of the Sidurim, they would not recite Oz Yashir in a Beis Ovel. And that's, they're different. Why? I guess because it's a very joyous event to focus on our success, and it's not appropriate to focus on success in a home where people are mourning. However, that is not necessarily, it's for Klal Yisrael, so it's not necessarily, was that observed? Only on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is when, represents the defeat of our enemies, and Tisha B'Av is a day when our enemies have overcome us. That itself is a very interesting concept. If there's only one day a year when you don't say it, it really opens up, it defines the essence of what Oz Yashir is. It is a day, it is a song to reflect that our enemies have been defeated. I don't think most people look at Oz Yashir like that. They look at the Egyptians as some ancient who knows what, and there was a miracle, the Yam split, and this happened and that happened, but I think very often we forget about looking at the big picture. And the big picture is Oz Yashir is a song to sing that our enemies have been defeated. We have many enemies in this world, and we draw from the history that just as Egypt, which is really the prototype, it is koilel all of the enemies of the Jewish people. They were defeated at that point in time. Likewise, all of those people who are trying to bring harm upon us, the nation of Klal Yisrael, they will suffer defeat. And this we acknowledge and we draw from every single day. And the only day that it's not appropriate to focus on this is the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking us in the eye and saying, you're not behaving and you have been defeated. It would be hypocrisy to do so on that day. But every other day we do focus. That is just a basic idea. Now here I want to try to bring out a little bit of an idea. A little bit raw, and maybe you can help me discuss this idea. In addition to reading on this coming Shabbos, Oz Yashir, we also are going to read Shiras Devora. Vatoshar Devora, Devora sings a beautiful Shira for the defeat of Sisra. Sisra was the general of Melech Yavin. Yavin is one of the nations of Canaan. Melech Hatzor, the king of Yavin. Melech Hatzor, Yavin, the king of Hatzor. Hatzor was one of the nations, one of the subcategories of Canaan, and they were causing very great harm to Klal Yisrael. And their general was the army, the military man for Yavin. Yavin was the king, and Sisera. It's a chiruk malei, and which most of us pronounce the Chirik Moleh as almost like a Shva, but it's a Shva, the second Samach is a Shva Na, so it will be pronounced Sisera. To say Sisera would be a little bit too much, because most of us don't do that. That's not accepted. You print out, like you say, tzitzis, even though it's a tzitzis, whatever. Sisera. Okay, well, I'm just going to say it the way I would not pay attention. Make a mistake. So we fight. So he was the general. There's the melech. There is the melech and the general. The melech and the general. It's like Yoav. David was the melech, and Yoav was David's general. So we have here of the king of Chotzor, Yovin. He had a general, Sisera. Sisera went out to destroy, wanted to go to war against the entire Klal Yisrael. He came to battle Klal Yisrael. Who was the leader of the time? This time, Barak. Barak ben Avinoyam. Barak was married to Devorah. Devorah was the Nevi'ah of the at this point in history, the people who looked up, who was leading Klal Yisrael, was a woman. Devorah. Isha Nevi'ah. Eshes Lapidos. What does that mean? She was either the wife of a man whose name was Lapidos, which was another name for Barak, or it means she was a fiery woman, a woman that had a passion. She had leadership qualities, a fiery, like a torch. She was alive. An Eshes Lapidos, a woman with passion and fire burning in her. And she was leading the Jewish people. She received the prophecy that the time has come to obliterate this thorn in our side, Yavin, and the general Sisera. Sisera went out to battle. He went out. Sisera had an army that was more magnificent than the army of Paro. Paro only had 600 chariots. What chosen? Rechev Bachur. And Sisera had 900 chariots. Rechev Barzel. Okay, Rechev Barzel. So what's better, Bachur or Barzel? What's more powerful? I don't know. I don't know. And now they're coming to battle, and there's a whole story. The Haftarah is a very long Haftarah. Ashkenazim first go through the entire story, which we'll discuss, and then after the defeat of Sisera, then Devorah led the Jewish people in song, and we read the Shira. It's very nice. We read Oz Yashir Moshe Uvenei Yisrael, and then we read the Shira of Devorah, the Haftarah. Oz Yashir is the first song that the Jewish people sang to Hashem as a nation. And Vatoshar Devorah, Chazal say, is the first song that the prophets sang to Hashem. Even though we have a song on Sefer Yehoshua, it's not called a song. Even though we call it a song, it says Vayedaber Yehoshua. It does not say the word Shira. So one of the reasons why we sing Shiras Devorah is because Shiras Devorah is the first. She preceded David. Devorah is the time of the Shoftim, before David. Notice, why don't we sing the Shiras David? There's another song that you can sing. You can sing Shiras David, Mizmar, at the very end of... We did it. We actually learned it. We learned the Shir that we're going to read, Shiras David, appears twice. It appears in the very, very end of Sefer Shmuel. At the very end of Sefer Shmuel, it also appears, I think, Mizmar Chav Beis. My mistake, the Mizmar Chav Beis... I think we learned it. It's Shiras David. We learned it, spent a lot of time on Shiras David. And David wrote it. David, it's repeated in Tanakh twice. Once in Sefer Shmuel, once in Tehillim. And there are a few differences, very, very minor differences between the two. David wrote this as a personal Shira at the end of his life. And he gave it over to Klal Yisrael. They all should sing. And he incorporated what he wrote in Sefer, what was written in Sefer Shmuel in Sefer Tehillim. Okay? So question, why this Shabbos, if we want to read a Haftorah, why not read the Haftorah of song from the prophets? Why not read Shiras David, which is in Sefer Shmuel? Why are we reading from Sefer Shoftim Shiras Devorah? So one of the answers given to, there are many answers, but one of the answers given to the square, but let's just compound the question, because indeed, on the Shvihi Shel Pesach, what do we read? on Shlishal Pesach, we read Shiras David. We read the half there on Shlishal Pesach, we lay in Oz Yashir, the same Kriya Satorah as this week's Parsha. But then on Shlishal Pesach, the half Torah is not Shiras Devoira. The half Torah is Shiras David. So you see that Shiras David is a good match for Oz Shiras Moshe. So why is it on Shlishal Pesach we learn Shiras David and on Parshas Beshalach we learn Shiras Devoira? There's one other time that this question comes up, and that is Parshas Hazinu. On Parshas Hazinu, what do we learn? Usually, most of the time, Parshas Hazinu is Shabbos Shuvah. It's before Yom Kippur. So we learn Shuvah Yisrael. But what happens in those years when Shabbos Shuvah is before and Hazinu is after Yom Kippur? So then what do we learn? We learn Shiras David. So why is it that in Parshas Hazinu, when it's not Shabbos Shuvah, we learn Parshas Shiras David, and Parshas Beshalach, we always B'li yoytze min haklal lein shiras devoira? So this is a tough question. So one of the answers given is that shiras devoira is the first. It's the first shira that was said by a prophet. The Nevi'im, David says shira. You want to talk about what are the other Yoshua? But Yoshua is not considered to be a shira for some. It isn't. It's not when he conquered the 31 nations of Canaan. So there's a shira. He enumerates all of the kings. Okay, it's a quasi shira. It is a shira. It's not a shira. When they count all the shiras, there are 10 shiras in Tanakh. It's counted, but yet the word Shira does not appear anywhere in its vicinity. It says Vayedaber Yehoshua. The only place where it says explicitly the word Shira is by Devoira and by David. So these are competing to complement the Shira of Moshe. Why Shiras Devoira? Okay, so now this is the question. Now there's another Chazal which is very important to this equation, and that is that Shiras, the Mice of Devorah, was the Hashlama of Kriyas Yamsuf, because at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Egyptians were defeated, there was a concern that the Klal Yisrael would say that just like we have emerged alive on this side of the Yam, there's a possibility that the Egyptians escaped. They went backwards when they saw the Yam was crashing upon them. They retreated, and they emerged alive on the other side of the Yam. So they were concerned. They were terrified. Even though right now we won this battle, but the war is still going on, who knows, they're going to ambush us and attack us at a later point in time. Hashem wanted to give Klal Yisrael Yishev Adas to clear their mind. They should know that their enemy has been obliterated and there's nothing ever to worry about. So Hashem commanded the Yam to spit out the Egyptians on the dry land, to present the evidence, the corpses, to see the Egyptians are dead once and for all. Hashem gave this instruction to the Yam, and the Yam said to Hashem, "Hashem, we cannot. Sorry, we have to disobey a direct order. We're entitled. They threw the children into the Yam. They deserve to rot away in our belly in the Yam. We cannot do this." Hashem said, please, you know, do me a toiva. No, Hashem, sorry, we're entitled. They committed a terrible crime. They ate up, they threw all the Jewish children into the Yam. They have to suffer. They have to sink to the bottom of the water and rot away here. So Hashem says, listen, do me a toiva. I'll tell you what. give them back to me on loan with interest. With interest. Spit them out now to put my people at ease. And in about 500 years from now, something like that, no, less than 500 years from now, in a couple hundred years from now, I will give you, I'll pay you back 50% more. 900. You're going to spit out for me 600. I'll give you 900. At a later point in time, you can swallow them up and keep them. When? In the time of Sisera. In the time of the Smilchama, of Yavin, Dvor, and Barak, then there will be 900 chariots with all of their horsemen, and you'll swallow them up into which, what was the body of water? The Yarden? Was it the Yarden? The Nachal Yarden? You'll swallow them up, and you can keep them. Fine. So it was on loan. The Yam spit out the Egyptians, and the story of Devorah and the battle of Yavin was payday. It was payback. It was, in essence, the end of Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was financed by the bank of the Red Sea. It was on loan. Hashem said, spit them out. No, I'll pay you back. Okay. So it was not over. Kriyas Yamsuf was not over until the debt was paid off. So the story of Devorah and Barak and the Yam was the Hashlama. It was the Gemara. It was the conclusion of Kriyas Yamsuf. So therefore, it's very appropriate that when we focus on Kriyas Yamsuf, on the story of the Exodus, we focus specifically with the match is the Hashlama, which is Shiras Devorah. Whereas, when it comes to Parshas Hazinu, when it comes to Shvi Yishol Pesach, the goal there is not Kriyas Yamsuf, which you can argue with me. Why not? Pesach, see, there are two things. This is important. Yisoid. Let me present this idea with a halachic dilemma to which there is no answer to. Question is, every single day a person has an obligation to remember Leman Tizkar Es Yoim Tseischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. And how do we fulfill that mitzvah? How do we fulfill that? We recite Kriya Shema and we recite the parash of Tzitzis, where it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Aschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'yois Lachem Elokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. We recite that pasuk every single day, twice a day, in order to fulfill the requirement of Leman Tizkar Es Yoim Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha Hayamim Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos. Okay, and as well, there are other things, there are other parts of the Nusach of Tila where we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. Here is a halachic dilemma which there is no answer to. What happens if the only thing a person says during the day is Oz Yashir? Vayoyish Hashem Vayoyimahu Es Yishol Miyad Mitzrayim Vayar Yishol Es Mitzrayim Meis Al Sfas Hayam V'chulu V'chulu, all the way to the end of Oz Yashir, Hashem Yim Loich Liolam Voed. If a person recites Kriyas Yamsuf and the Shiras Hayom, does he fulfill his obligation of Leman Tizkar Etzioim Tzeizcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha? So on the one hand, it's the ultimate goal. The ultimate, it's the defeat. And you know, in fact, we learned yesterday in the afternoon, Ki Hashem, right before the Yam split, it says, when the Yam split, Ki Hashem nilcham lohem b'mitzrayim. The Egyptians, the same way what they're doing to us now. I mean, Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzias Mitzrayim are two sides of the same coin. So perhaps, if the only thing that a person says during the day, for whatever the reason is, he doesn't say Kriya Shema, he doesn't say anything about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but he talks about Kriyas Yamsuf and the defeat of the Egyptians in the Yam, does that qualify for Yitzias Mitzrayim? Does he fulfill the mitzvah that writes Lamantiskos Yom Tzeischami Eretzim? Maybe the mitzvah of Lamantiskos Yom Tzeischami Eretz Mitzrayim is only to mention the Exodus, is to leave the land of Egypt. But to focus on the fact that the Yam split and the Egyptians drowned and they're gone forever, that's icing on the cake.
Maybe that's not even a zefira, that's a shira.
But the shira has to mention, you have the shira, the shvan.
You're mentioning it, but you're doing it as a
shira. Okay, the Mepharshim don't focus. The Mepharshim, you're asking a new level, a new dimension. They don't even focus on that. What I've seen over here in the different Sfarim is that's not even an issue. That lechor would be okay. If in the shira itself you would talk about leaving Egypt, even though you're saying it as a song, not as a statement, that's okay. But the problem is, in Oz Yosher, there is no mention of leaving Egypt. Zero. There's no mention. We already left Egypt. We're now describing the enemy chasing after us. They're coming into the Yam, and they're all put to death. They're put to sleep. It's over for them. But they're the Egyptians. This is the conclusion of the Exodus. Is this a valid focus of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So this is a very big question, and there are many Mepharshim. Some say yes, some say no. On your own, you can come up with all of the svaras, the same svaras that they come up with. It's the goal, it's Egypt, it's one long story. So yeah, it's good enough. On the other hand, no, there are tzve dinim. There's a din of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and there is a din of Kriyas Yamsov. Ha'ilichud v'ha'ilichud. Okay, you can argue and you can debate this. You can go bring two teams of some high school boys and debate this and bring Rias back and forth. It'll be a nice debate to take two teams of people and debate this issue. Halacha l'mayis, the poskim say, tzorach in gadol, if a person only says Kriyas Yamsuf, is it called a fulfillment of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Pesach, now let's make something very, very clear. There is no yomtif to celebrate Kriyas Yamsuf. No such thing. There's no such thing. The Torah, nowhere in the Torah does it say there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to commemorate Kriyas Yamsuf. No such thing. It's not part of the Sheish Zichiros. There is no holiday for this. There is a holiday called Pesach. The holiday of Pesach is about one thing only. Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not about Kriyas Yamsuf. It happens to be that since our holidays are 7 days, 7 days, you anyway have to figure out what to lay. You have to find an appropriate Kriya Satoira. So it's a very nice thing. We're going to lay on Shvi Yishol Pesach. We're going to lay about Kriya Yamsuf. Truth being, Kriya Yamsuf, according to one of the calculators, really is the 8th day. It's not even the 7th day. It's whatever you want to go talk about. But there's no such thing as Pesach, even on day 7. Day 7 of Pesach is not a day to commemorate Kriyas Yamsuf. The 7th day of Pesach, you are commemorating Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so because it is that you're running out of material, to talk about. A rabbi needs Choymer Lidrush, and the Chazal, they need what to lay. You got to make it a little bit interesting. So it's the 7th day, it's all part of the same theme. But don't lose focus. It's very dangerous in Judaism when the tafel becomes the ikar. When the tafel becomes the ikar, it's very, very dangerous. Yesterday was Yom Shlishi L'Parshas B'Shalach. Where does it come from, this thing? Everyone should go. I talked about yesterday, all the emails came in like a flood. Okay, I told you no one bothered me this year. Yeah, I spoke too early. They're more strategic. They wait until the middle of the day to send out all the strategic emails. So today already, all the experts admit that there's really no makar. They really go look, read the fine print. There's no makar to do this. The whole thing is built on assumptions and mistakes. But they all write at the end, which is very, very dangerous. There's really no makar that the Menachem Mendel Mirimanov never said. He never said that Yom Shlishi L'Parashas B'Shalach you should say Shnei Mikvich Targum and it's a segula Lo Hoyu Dvarim Me'olam. And maybe one of his Talmidim, he was talking to him and learning, and maybe he happened to be talking to him on the third day of B'Shalach about this, and he told him you should say it every single day. And, the whole way it came about is, but then they all conclude at the end, But because Klal Yisrael has accepted it upon themselves, it makes Oroisham in Shamayim. It's a very dangerous thing to talk like that. Then they all said it in the fine point. Any event, Shvi Shal Pesach is a very, it becomes dangerous. Maybe I'm saying it's not right, but the Shvi Shal Pesach, you are commemorating Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're not commemorating Kriyas Yamsuf.
But is it the actual exit or the whole experience?
Well, that was a debate. That's like you're two sides to the question. That is the halachic, the nafgamina is lahalocha. Lahalocha, if the only thing a person says is oz yoshir, does he fulfill the mitzvah, the oiraisa of leman tizgar, it's yoim tseischa me'eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayacha? That's the debate. How do we study and understand Kriyas Yamsuf in its relationship to Yitzias Mitzrayim? Therefore, I'm trying to explain. We just went through this whole idea, is that Devorah, the story of Sisra, Devorah, and Barak, is the Hashlama of Kriyas Yamsuf. This week's parasha, there is no mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim. When we're reading about Kriyas Yamsuf, we're reading about Kriyas Yamsuf in its purest sense. Yitzias Mitzrayim took place last week. Okay, that was last week. Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's no more Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's over with. Parashas Bo, it says it really comes down heavy. It's been now 430 years. 400 years. The Pesukim make it clear. V'lo yochlu l'hismamea. Pyro says, get out of here. Last week, the Kriyas HaTorah was a Kriya of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And guess what? Not only did we have a week, a Kriyas HaTorah, there's a holiday, a whole holiday, just for this. The holiday is not, there's no holiday for Kriyas Yamsuf. There is a holiday of 7 days. Matzos Yeochel Shiv'as Yomim. Why do you eat matzah for 7 days? Because of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Nothing to do with Kriyas Yamsuf. There's no holiday for Kriyas Yamsuf. It happens to be that it's day seven. You need what to lane. You need what to lane. Oh, so we'll lane about Kriyas Yamsuf. Why not? It's nice. It's day seven. It's part of the story. So, but there's no holiday for Kriyas Yamsuf. There is a holiday for Yitzias Mitzrayim. But this Shabbos is unique. It's once a year. It is a time that we devote exclusively to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was on loan. It was financed by the sea of the Red Sea, whatever you want to call it, whatever they call it, the Yamsuf, the Sea of Reeds, whatever. It's very hard to, everyone don't even knows where that is exactly, whatever it is. There was a loan. Hashem said, spit out the Egyptians to give my people satisfaction that their enemy has been defeated. The Yam said, no. Hash, please, come on, don't you know I'm the Ribbono Shel Olam? Sorry, we can't help you. Okay, how about a loan with ribbis? Do you have a heter iska? Ribbono Shel Olam? Where's your heter iska? Okay, I'll sign a heter iska. Lend me 600, I'll pay you back 900. Heter iska. Hashem signed heter iska. Hashem signed heter iska. And therefore, being that this week we are devoting exclusively to Kriyas Yamsuf, the story ain't over until you read about Devorah, Barak, Sisra, the 900 chariots of Barzel that sunk into the sea and never came up, because this is the Gemar of Kriyas Yamsuf. However, on Shvi Shal Pesach, it's not about Kriyas Yamsuf. Just because you lay in Kriyas Yamsuf doesn't mean you should lay in about Shiras Devorah, about Sisra. Who cares about Sisra? Shvi Shal Pesach, you know what you focus on? Yitzias Mitzrayim. If we were to lay on Shvi Shel Pesach Shiras Devorah, it would send a horrible message. It would mislead us into believing that Shvi Shel Pesach is a festival that commemorates Kriyas Yamsuf, and there is no such thing. It's a very nice event. You can do whatever you want to commemorate it, but there is no biblical holiday to commemorate Kriyas Yamsuf. No such thing. It's an event that happened. It's part of the story of the Exodus, but it's a story only in its relationship to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Laning the Haftorah of Devorah, Shiras Devorah, on Shvi Shel Pesach would corrupt what Shvi Shel Pesach is about. It is the Hashlama, the Gemar of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And just as, and we're going to sing Shira, so we'll sing a Shira of David, Shiras David. David sang a Shira that Hashem, the lesson to learn from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Just like Hashem took us out of Egypt and saved us, and we ultimately sang Shiras Hayam, and the Shiras Hayam, Don't focus on, it's not on the... So we'll also sing a Shira to express our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't focus on the Hashlama, on the conclusion of Kriyas Yamsuf, because it's not a day of, there is no such holiday of commemorating the Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, what about Parshas Hazinu? Well, certainly Parshas Hazinu, when you lay in Hazinu, of course, there's no Shaychus. There's no connection. Parashas Hazinu, what is Parashas Hazinu? It's a song. Hazinu Hashmayim V'Adaber V'Shemezim Refi. It's Musar. It's a Shira. Okay, so you sing another Shira. But what we not. There's nothing unique about Shiras Devorah that would connect it to Parashas Hazinu. Again, it's not usually Nogea, because Hazinu most of the time is going to be Shabbos Shuvah. But when it's not Shabbos Shuvah, there's no connection. Okay, that's one idea. Now there's another idea of what is the connection between Shiras Devar, we already said this, but I got a little sidetracked, and that is, it's the first. You only have one chance to make a first impression. This, in the cycle of the year, this is the first time we're singing Shira. We're going through the Torah. We're going through Jewish history. We come to Parshas B'Shalach. Oz Yoshir Moshe Uvenei. It's the first time the Jewish people sang to Hashem through Moshe. Moshe is the Av Hanavim. What about the prophets? Which was the first Navi to sing Shira? Devorah. There's nothing like a fresh bagel, being the first. Moshe was the first Shira, and Shiras Devorah has a mila of it being the first of the Nevi'im. A Nevi'ah, she was a Nevi'ah, a woman.
Miriam's thing is not the same Shira.
No, that's, Miriam is also part. Miriam is, we Miriam is really just a chelik of Moshe Rabbeinu. We sing, we do say it in the Torah. Vatei say Miriam. We do sing it. But Devorah, David is not the first. And in fact, David composed Shiras David at the end of his life. There is a flavor of the end in David. So Shiras David is a Shira. He was not the first. If you're not the first, we're trying here this Shabbos to focus on the first, the beginning. I want to say another idea. It's not really what I'm saying is not correct, but I want to try to bring out a point. How exactly, according to the letter of the law, do you recite a Shira? Or more precisely, how did Klal Yisrael recite the Shira at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf? So this is a Gemara, and the Gemara presents three opinions as to how they actually sang the song. So let me read you the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gemara, where is the Gemara? The Gemara is in Tekla Soita, coming up not so far down in Daf Yomi. Tanan Abon, Bo Bayom, Dod Asher B'Yakiva, B'Shosh, Olu Yisho Ben Ayom, Nosnu Einehem, Nitnu Einehem, Loimar Shira, Ve Ketzad Omru Shira. It's a very deep Gemara. Enormous amount of depth in this Gemara. How exactly did they say Shira? So Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva, the Hilchos Rabbi Akiva, Ki Godol HaMakrei Es Halel Vehein Oinin Acharov Roshei Pirokim. Now what does that mean? So he says, Moshe Omar Oshira LaHashem Vehein Oimrim Oshira LaHashem. Okay, that's easy. Okay, Moshe says the first words, Oshira LaHashem. Mm-hmm. They say Oshira LaHashem. Now go further. What are the next words? Moshe Omar Ki Go'o Go'o Vehein Oimrim Oshira LaHashem. Okay, so we get Rabbi Akiva. That's what they do. Moshe, and the whole thing is just like that. Moshe starts off Ashira Hashem. Everyone says Ashira Hashem. Moshe then says the next words, Ki Go'o Go'o. And what is the response of the Jewish people? Ashira Hashem. And the whole, and it would appear that the entire, every phrase they say, the first two words, right? Moshe is the only one that says the song, and the Jewish people, after every phrase, they repeat the first two words, the refrain, Ashira LaHashem. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Opinion number two, Rabbi Eliezer, Binoy Shalab Yosegli Omer, you got it all wrong. It's not the way it happened. I was there. I saw the movie. I'll tell you the way it really happened.
He does that a lot.
I saw the movie. I saw the movie. I have a copy of the movie. No, let's see. So what does Rabbi Yosegli says? The Machlokes the Gemara. Kikotan Hamakri Esahalel. Vehein, like a child, not like in the Beis HaKnesses, but vehein oinin acharav kol ma shehu oimer. And he explains, Moshe Omar Ashira LaHashem. That's some of vehein oimer Ashira LaHashem. Moshe Omar ki go'o go'o vehein oimrim ki go'o go'o. Very different. According to Rabbi Eliezer, what monkey see, monkey do. Whatever Moshe says, that's what they do. Moshe says Ashira LaHashem, they say Ashira LaHashem. Moshe says Ki Go'o Go'o, they say Ki Go'o Go'o. Okay, Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva.
That was the impression I think everyone had.
It's a Gemara, you can't argue with the Gemara. Gemara himself said two opinions. We're not done yet. We have a third opinion. The third opinion is very vague. And it in itself is subject to interpretation. Then we come to Rabbi Nehemiah. Opinion number three. What exactly happened? You saw the wrong movie. I saw the right movie. I saw the real thing. His soifer, mayor, mamish hashkocha pratis, hapoyres al shema, the Beis HaKnesses. Like a soifer, a scribe, that's poyres, he comes late to shul, and he misses the davening and he wants to say Baruch Hu and Kaddish with a minyan. He's poyres al shema. He does, poyres means a prusa. He does half of the davening. He chaps around a portion of the davening with the minyan and the rest is on his own. Shehu poseach techila vehein oinin acharav. That's all it says. Now, what does that mean? What is the third opinion? Extremely vague. So whenever you have something that is vague, abstract, it's like a maral. And the abstraction allows for interpretation. So it's a machloikis, Rashi, and Tosfos as to what Rabbi Nehemiah meant to say. Rashi explains, Rabbi Nehemiah means, ki poris sofer poris al shma, umaschil bebirchois kriya shma, vikulun oin achra vikorin yachad. Okay, you're going to the sugi poris al shma, basically means, They said everything together. In other words, it wasn't like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, it was responsive. Moshe said A, and when Moshe spoke, everyone was quiet. They listened. And then after Moshe finished, they said something. What did they say? Either they said the same thing or they said something different than what Moshe said. According to Rabbi Nechemya, they all said it together.
They had
Nevi'ah
to say?
Yeah, Taka, they did, yeah. They did. That's what it says here in the footnotes. Exactly. They had that prophecy. They all, or maybe they practiced. Maybe Moshe gave them, he told them what the words are, and they practiced. Yes. And then they all sang it together. Either they had prophecy and they all knew what to say, or maybe Moshe taught them what to say. They practiced it. And okay, on your mark, get set. We're all going to sing together. Ashira LaHashem Ki Go'o Go'o Sus V'Rechvo Ramav. That is according to Rashi. So Rashi learns Pshat in Rabbi Nechemya. They said, it's not responsive. They all said it together. Then comes along Tosfos. He says something that's really amazing. And he says, Rabbi Nechemya means to say is that each one, it's not responsive, because responsive means you're repeating what Moshe said. According to Rabbi Akiva, they're repeating the words Ashur Lashem 100 times. According to Rabbi Eliezer, they are repeating monkey see, monkey do. They're not repeating the same thing every time. They're repeating whatever Moshe says now. They repeat, exactly. According to Rabbi Nechemya Lefi Tosfos, each one said the next phrase. Moshe said, Ashira LaHashem. And they say, Ki Goyo, Ki Goo, Goo. Moshe then says, Oziv Zimroska. And they say, Vayihi Lilishua. No repetition. Everyone just says the next phrase. Moshe says one phrase, and they say the next phrase. Right, exactly. Or like a Yom Kippur Katan. They're all different. They're all different types of kreivets. All different types of piyutim where you come across these three techniques. So in Sach HaKol, there are four different mahalchim. Sach HaKol, four different mahalchim. Number one, Rabbi Akiva. Moshe says Ashur LaHashem. They say Ashur LaHashem. Moshe says Ki Go'o Go'o. They say Ashur LaHashem. They repeat Ashur LaHashem 100 times. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Moshe starts with Ashur LaHashem, Ashur LaHashem. Moshe says, Ki go'o go'o, Ki go'o, Ki go'o go'o. Moshe says, Oziv Zimroska, they say, Ki Oziv Zimroska. Moshe says, Zek Heli Van Veyu, they say, Zek Heli Van Veyu. Monkey see, that's not a nice term, but in order to bring out the point, you know what I mean? Monkey see, monkey, you just repeat whatever Moshe says. And then comes Rabbi Nechemya. And Rabbi Nechemya is a machloikis, abstractions, machloikis with Rashi and Tosfos. What does it mean? Does it mean they practiced the whole thing, they memorized the whole thing, and then together, Moshe, Uvinei, Yisrael, they all sang it as a choir together. It's not responsive. And Tosfos says, no, it is responsive, but there is zero repetition. Moshe says one thing, and they say the next thing. Now, there's a lot to be said about this fascinating Gemara in the world of Machshava and Drush to understand what is Shira? What is Shira? We're coming out of Shabbos Shira. What are you doing when you're singing Shira? Now, you can sing Shira privately, okay? You open up the Siddur.
Is the Shira a song or was it a recital, like a poem?
So you're touching upon Dvarim Ha'im Din Buru Mashlam. What is Shira? Obviously, the shira is there's something public about. You know, there's something. The first thing it is there's a pride. You can sing shira privately. Okay, then this where the whole nation sings shira. Obviously, we're dealing over here with that. That's a given. There's something very public about this. This is not a private shira here. This is not something you do privately. This is the nation as a whole is singing shira to Hashem.
Because they finally now, by Aminu Hashem,
they achieved, right? They
now
became.
They first really believed in God.
Right, they achieved greatness. Now they achieved something, and now they're singing a song as a nation together. But there is four different ways to look at this. If you learn now, I believe now before we even go further, there are many things. The first thing is to point out is Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Nechemya. They gave Mesholim. They didn't just tell you Ketzad. They could have just said, Ketzad, Ashur LaHashem, Ashur LaHashem, Ki Go'o Go'o, Ashur LaHashem. No, there was a Hakdama. The Hakdama of Rabbi Akiva is, kigodol, like a great person, hamakre es hahalel. It sounds like a shliach tzibur, like a godol. His words are very precise. A godol, hamakre es hahalel, vehein oinin acharav roshei pirokim. And then he explains exactly how it's done. He didn't need to give us the mashal. He could just say exactly how it's done. Rabbi Akiva does two things. He gives you a mashal, and then he tells you how it's done. I don't need your mashal. Just tell me, bottom line, how do you do it? Give me the instructions. No, I want to give you a mashal. A godol, a great person, who reads praise, and the people responding repeat in the Roshei Perakim. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kikoton Hamakri, he says, like a child. Hamakri es Hallel, who reads the Hallel, Vehein Oinin Acharov Kol Mashuhu Oimer. The opposite, not a Godol, but a Koton. The words, these contrasting. Repeat, monkey see, monkey do, like a child. A child, you say, repeat after me. Baruch atah Hashem. Repeat after me. Baruch, move your lips. Make believe you know what you're saying. Get into the mode. Just make believe. Learn by rote. And then hopefully somewhere in your life, when you're probably 90 years old, you'll figure out what the words mean. Like a katan, not as a gadol. Ki katan hamakre, es ahalal. Which means there's a Rebbe that is teaching the children, the kindalach, and is telling them, repeat after me. So I don't need you to give me a mashal. Just tell me. He goes on to tell you the ketzad. He tells you how they did it. And then when it comes to Rabbi Nechemiah, he gives a mashal. What does he say? Kisoifer hapoyres al shema bebeis hakneses. Now that's a loaded statement. What is he trying to connote in this statement? What is a soifer? A sofer usually means a Talmud Chacham. It usually means Lama Nikru Talmidei Chachamim Soferim. Like a, it doesn't say a Godol, it says a sofer, who is Poreis Al Shema, Bebeis HaKnesses, which means he came late. Poreis Al Shema in Shulchan Aruch means you showed up late, and now you want to salvage the best that you can. And you're gonna do, and we were mentioning over here Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay. And then he goes on to tell you. Now, can't even scratch the surface of what's going on over here, but there's obviously loaded ideas in what is Shira? In what is it a Godol? Is it a Katan? Or is it a Sofer, a Talmud Chacham? Okay, that's one idea which we have to develop at some point in time, but I didn't really want to. I want to just focus on we're out of time. I want to focus very quickly on another point. When they explain themselves, they use words, and the words that they use are ashiru la Hashem, and then ki go'o go'o. Those are the words that are being used. Those words, I believe, are a mashal. It's not just those are the words of the song. There is meaning to those words as what we're trying to accomplish here. According to the first man, the Yomar, Rabbi Akiva, Moshe says to the Jewish people, Ashiru la Hashem, I want to sing. And the people, and they also, Ashiru la, we also want to sing. Then Moshe says, Ki go'o go'o. What do the people respond? The people do not respond, according to Rabbi Akiva, the content. What happened? What happened? Who cares? What happened, happened. Moshe, he knows what happened. The people respond, we want to just thank Hashem. The people are not giving details. The details of what has happened is the leader, is the Godol. The Godol, the Godol, he has all the records. The people who are responding, they're not singing to Hashem about the details. They're singing to Hashem their emotion. Ashiru la Hashem, I will sing to Hashem. Yeah, what are you singing about? What are you happy about? The Gadol will tell you. I'm not qualified to tell you the details. Moshe Rabbeinu will say ki go'o go'o. Moshe will say ozi v'zimroska. Will say vayihi l'lishua. Moshe will say zekeli v'anveyu. We don't even know what these things are. These are lofty concepts. All we know is we have a Gadol. He's going to sing, and we are going to bring to the table our emotion. Ashiro la Hashem. Rabbi Eliezer says, no such thing. The people, the Hamoinam, also have to relate the details. If Moshe says, ki go'o go'o, we have to also say, ki go'o go'o. We have to express the details. If Moshe says, zekei livyan veyu, we also have to express the details of zekei livyan veyu. Moshe will teach us, and we will also express. Rabbi Nechemiah has a whole different approach to what Shir is. It's, we don't need someone to teach us. There's no leadership, according to Rashi. In singing to Hashem, there's no leader and there's no follower. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. According to Rashi, we're going to sing it together. We're going to sing the whole thing together. According to Tosfos, it's very, very interesting. According to Tosfos, Moshe is not singing everything. Because Ein Melech Biloy Am. The way it's structured is, Moshe's song needs Klal Yisrael to sing. And Klal Yisrael needs a leader. A leader, Ein Melech Biloy Am. And a people without a leader is like a lost sheep. It's a flock without a shepherd. Each one together, only when they participate together can they do the hashlama of expressing to Hashem Shira. Moshe says Ashiru la Hashem, but Moshe needs Klal Yisrael to say ki go'o go'o. Moshe never says the words ki go'o go'o. That's not his words. Because Moshe, it's Klal Yisrael is the one who appreciates ki go'o go'o. But Klal Yisrael can't do the Ashiru la Hashem. They need Moshe to say that for them. And likewise, there's a certain interconnection that one cannot exist without the other. That's part of the element of song. Four different ways to sing, four different ways how they sang the song. It's not just stomp, four different ways, you know, techniques. There is the techniques of how they sang the song define what are you doing? What are you doing? How much do you look up to your leader? How much does your leader need you? How much do you all come together? And the four different techniques creates a completely different flavor in what exactly you're trying to achieve in the song. Okay, so now, I can't do it over, but what I wanted to say, I'm not saying, tell you the Rosh HaProkim in 10 seconds, I wanted to suggest a drush, and that is, the song of the Dvorah is basically the response. In the Kriyas HaTorah, Moshe is singing. It's like Moshe is saying, Ashiru la Hashem. When we lay in the Haftorah, we're responding. The Haftorah, very often, is the response to the Parsha. The Parsha is a statement, and the Haftorah is a reply. We have two Shiras. We have the Shira of Moshe and the Shira of Devorah. Is the Shira of Devorah equivalent to saying, Moshe says, Ashiru la Hashem. That's the Parsha. Is Shiras Devorah Klal Yisrael saying, Ashiru la Hashem? Or do we say like Rabbi Eliezer, that when we lay in the parsha, what we're saying, we're saying ki go'o go'o, and when we lay in the haftorah, we're saying ki go'o go'o, or we're saying Ashiru la Hashem? Or is the haftorah and the parsha on the same page, but we're just saying it all together, or is it they're completely different? Being that we have a week, a unique parsha, where both the parsha and the haftarah are shirois, and we have four different ways of looking at the way you recite a shira, and the parsha and the haftarah are basically a responsive approach. You say something, I'll say something. And we know that when it comes to song, there's a big machlokes. What do you say? Do you repeat what the other one said? Or do you say something different? Is it a compliment? Is it something different? We have a conversation between the Navi Moshe and Devorah. Is Devorah, is she repeating what Moshe said? Or is she responding? Or is she saying something different? And what will be a nafgamina? The nafgamina would be, where does the Haftorah begin? There are three opinions of where the Haftorah begin. Ashkenazim start the whole story. The Sfardim, they only start with Shiras Devorah. It's half the Haftorah. And then there's a third minig Rome, where you start two psukim before the Shiras Devorah. So I wanted to say, I didn't figure this whole thing out, is that the three different starting points of the of Shiras Devorah correspond to the three opinions of how you sing Shira. Like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Nehemiah. There's a machlokes, how do you sing Shira? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Nehemiah. The parsha and the haftorah is a conversation. It's responsive. So just like it's responsive, there's the Shira Sayyam on a bigger plane. So are we following Rabbi Akiva? Are we following Rabbi Nehemiah? Are we following Rabbi Eliezer? Well, you can figure out who you're following by analyzing where you start. Because where you start changes the flavor of what you're trying to really say in your response. Assume that the Kriyas HaTorah is Moshe speaking, and the Haftorah is Klal Yisrael responding. Are they going to respond like Rabbi Akiva, the Gadol? Are they going to respond like Rabbi Eliezer, the Katan? Or are they going to respond like Rabbi Nehemiah, the Sofer? L'may nafkamina, the nafkamina is what you say. But we're saying the same thing. No, we're not saying the same thing. We're starting at different places. Min Ashkenaz, Sephorad, and Ram and Rome. Min of Rome, the city of Rome. I'm trying to think about it. Another time is to correlate the three opinions in the Gemara into the conversation.